Today we serve a God that is faithful. We serve a God that is on His throne, and we serve a God that knows exactly what you and I are faced with every day, and He knows the future because the future is in His hands. And I always am reminded that the battle is not yours, it's not mine. We may be in the battle, we might be dealing with a battle, but the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, and we are to look to Him. For again, He is the author, the finisher of our faith. I've always said, He who begins a good work in you and I is faithful to complete it to the very end. And I thank God that He knows exactly what tomorrow's going to bring. He knows exactly what another year's going to bring. And He knows exactly what is going on. So I've always said, there's no surprise to God. There's no surprise to God. There may be some things that you may be surprised, and we have been surprised about a lot of things the last few weeks. But I tell you what, there's no surprise with God, because God knows all. He sees all. And I thank God that we have a God that is in control and not out of control. And thank God that He is on the course, He is on the right plan, and so therefore we are to bask in His love and grace and mercy, and we leave it in the Lord's hands, and we let the Lord take care of everything that you and I are dealing with and things that we're faced with, because God is to be glorified, and we glorify Him today. Can I hear a praise in God's house today? Praise the Lord. It is good that we're here, and today I want to share with you a little bit, because we're coming up on the 4th of July, so I felt like today I wanted to bring a sermon today in pertaining of the 4th of July that's going to come, and that is 1776 is when America got its independence and how that we became a nation. And I want to talk about that today, because we see that in our nation there are things that are going on that is not good for the American people. And so I want to bring you back to the Word of God. We have to divert back to the Word of God, and we've got to look at the Word of God for what it is and what it says. And so let's look at this today. So the title of my message today is this: Bringing America Back to God. Bringing America back to God. And if there was ever a time that America needs to get back with God, we are living in that generation right now that we need God in America more than ever before. And we know that the principles and the foundation was found in God we trust. And so we see that, but now we're starting to see things a little different that's going the wrong direction. So let's look at the Word today, and let's find out what God says about bringing America back to Him. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me into the Old Testament, Proverbs, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 34th verse. Proverbs 14 and 34. If you have your Bibles today, that's the sword of the Spirit. Hold those up high. I know those who are watching us live today, you may not see it, but everybody's kind of holding up the Word of God here. It's in the pew. It'll be projected on your screen. Let's look at the Word here today. Proverbs 14 and 34, bringing America back to God. The writer of Proverbs says this: righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Romans 1 and 18. Let's go there. We're in the New Testament here. Romans 1 and 18. Let's look at this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If the world has an excuse today, I want to share with you today, there's no excuse. This is the Word of God speaking. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Can I hear an amen to God's word? As the Ten Commandments are removed from a lot of our public buildings after another, with remains are nothing but black walls, which are often too being poked at with bullet marks, are covered with graffiti, if nothing but a blank wall remains in place of a moral code, sooner or later people are going to write on it. And whatever they want, we are thus living in a nation in which our conduct is being governed, not by the moral laws of God, but by the popular culture of our times. People assume it is possible to have morality without God. But the whole underpinning is based on morality, is that existence of God. In his farewell address, I want to share with you today, as we're talking about the 4th of July, we see in a farewell address to the nation, George Washington, as president, said, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. And whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds of peculiar structure, reasons and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles." We see also, as a historian, Will Durant wrote this, "This is no significant example in history before our time of society successfully maintains moral life without the aid of religion." One author writes and puts it more abundantly, there is nothing in history to match the dire ends to which humanity can be led by following a political, social philosophy that consistently and concisely, absolutely excludes God. So I want to share with you today that there are things that we need to look at. For we are reminded, without the reality of eternal God, there is no ultimate basis for ethics. There are no moral absolutes. Erwin Lutzer writes this, offers a graphic picture of what is happening in our world today. Imagine a heavy steel beam suspended high above a chasm by single cable attached to the middle of a beam. Two men are at opposite ends, and their weight provides the balance needed to keep the bar horizontal. Now suppose that one of them steadies himself enough to pull out a gun and shoot the other one. Then the result is that they both fall into a chasm. Those who are trying to destroy the belief of in God cannot do it without destroying themselves. And if our nation continues to descend into godless entertainment, centered moral of the holes of no fear of God, no reverence for His commands, we will perish as a nation. The blank wall will become a blackboard for the finger, hear me today, for the finger of God to write the word of Daniel 5. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanted. My question today is this: what can we do about this? What can we do about this in America? I'm going to leave some points with you today on what we can do. First, we can keep our lives pure. I want us to look at this. We can keep our lives pure. You say, well, Pastor, how can you keep your lives pure? How can I keep my life in purity when depravity is all around, when things are happening and it just seems like it's gloom, doom, and agony and defeat? Let me give you some scripture here to encourage you. Isaiah 59 and 1 says this: behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. I want you to look at this today with me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. That's why I share with you to let you know there's no surprise at the point that we're at right now. There's no surprise that we're in this generation right now. There's no surprise of things that are coming on this land and things that will come, as Jesus clearly lets us know in Matthew, the 24th chapter, that there are things that are coming, wars and rumors of wars. There's going to things that's going to take place upon this land, but he says, be not afraid. Understand, I know exactly what's going on. And so he says in Isaiah, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. He can save. You may look at this world and say, there's no hope. Well, the way we look at it, maybe it looks like there's no hope. But listen, God's hand is not shortened. He still can save. He still can extend mercy. He can still extend grace. He can still save. He can still deliver. He can still heal. Just because the enemy, Satan, is having a heyday, he thinks, and everything that's going around, there's no surprise with God. Because understand this, Satan is limited in what he can do. He can't be everywhere at the same time, and he doesn't know about everything going on at the same time, but our God does. Satan might be mighty, but God is almighty, and God is on his throne, and he's going to get the last laugh. And when people think they can get by with the things of this world, they cannot get by. You and I cannot get by, because God sees, because his hand is not shortened. He knows exactly what's going on, and he knows exactly what's going on in our lives today. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly lets us know that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He knows exactly what's going on. But the Bible does say this: but your iniquity has separated you from your God. The iniquity that's going on in this world has separated you from God. God cannot have sin. He is not sin. He can't dwell with sin. He can't look upon sin. But through His Son, Jesus Christ, you and I can be saved. We can be delivered. We can be healed. And He knows exactly what you and I are going through this very moment of this very day. But He says, His face is hidden from you, that He will not hear. Why? Because you're not turning away from your sins. I've said it and will say it again. God does not save you in your sins. He saves you from your sins. We're not to abuse the grace of God, that we continue on in sin, that we continue to do what we want to do, be what we want to be, say what we want to say, go where we want to go. God is clearly saying that we must do about face. We need to do a 360. We've got to make a turn away from sin so that we can keep ourselves pure. You can't just keep yourself pure pure yourself, but the Holy Spirit that's within you is to help you stay pure with Jesus Christ in your heart, and your relationship with Jesus Christ is going to sustain you and take care of you day by day. Why? Because the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save you, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Listen, we can keep our own lives pure by remaining utterly committed to God and to his commandments in our personal experience that we have day by day. The government can never keep us from exhibiting the Ten Commandments in our daily behavior. They may take it off the wall, but the Ten Commandments can still be in our heart. It can still be in your house. It can still be in your car. It can still be before you, because that behavior is a daily behavior that now that you have made that commitment that you're accepting Jesus Christ, you're living for Jesus Christ, now you are a servant, you are a disciple of the Most High God, and you're moving forward not within yourself, but within the Holy Spirit that's within you, that you become the believer that you and I have become. Listen, the courts can never keep us from living out the gospel. Christian behavior is growing increasingly distinct from that of the world that is around us. We can live blameless. We can live a holy lives without fault in the midst of a crook and perverse generation, as we see this in Philippians 2 and 15. Not only are we to strive to keep ourselves living pure, but my second point today is we can keep our voices heard. You can keep your voices heard in the world which you live today. Listen, Christians have civil rights too. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of expression. I want to share with you today there were students in the public school have incredible rights when it even comes to prayer, Bible study, and equal access for Bible-related events. Not long ago at Northern High School in Silver Springs, Maryland, one of the graduating seniors, a Christian, planned to offer an invocation at the graduation ceremony. But a fellow student objected, saying prayer is inappropriate at a public ceremony. The state attorney general's office informed school officials that graduation prayer violates the Constitution of separation of church and state. As a compromise, the Christian student agreed to ask for a 30-second time of reflection that did not mention God. The time came from the graduation service, and the student asked for a moment of silence, and suddenly a man in the crowd began to recite the Lord's Prayer out loud. And instantly, virtually, everyone in the entire 4,000 member audience, including the students, join in with a spontaneous demonstration of our rights of free speech as believers, and guess what? And voicing their voice to those that they come in contact with. To God be the glory for someone that stood up, for someone that spoke, for someone that began to share with their hearts. It is time for us not to be silent, but it's time to let our voices ring and let people know who you serve. Let people know who you live for. Let people know who God is in this world which we live. And it's the Jehovah God. It's the Jehovah Jireh. It is Jehovah Nisi. It is Jehovah Rapha. It is God on the scene that provides for you and I day in and day out that we may be victory in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We must let this world know that God exists and that God lives. That's why we have the freedom and the liberty that we have. But guess what? The enemy is wanting to kill, steal, and to destroy. He wants to try to take away your rights. He wants to take out your freedom. He wants to take out your voice. But let your voice be heard today. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Third, my point today is keep our prayers going. Don't stop praying. Keep our prayers going. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer is very vital in our lives today because we communicate with God through the power of prayer. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. Don't just look at it nonchalant and say, well, I'll let somebody else pray, or I'll let somebody else. No, you pray. Pray without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul says. Have a prayer on your heart. Be in prayer for this nation. Be in prayer for your neighbor. Be in prayer for your family. Be in prayer for your church. Stay in prayer with Christ Jesus. We can pray for revival. There have been other demoralizing time in the history of our nation and in other history of other lands in which judgment was delayed by the winds of revival. It isn't too late for our nation to experience an awakening. How that we need a great awakening. How that we need to be revived. How that we need to say, oh Lord, revive us. Revive our church. Bring revival. Lord, so much that people can be saved, delivered, and healed. In Psalms 85 and 6, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Hear the psalmist ask a question in Psalms 85 and 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? That's why David always said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me the right mind, the right heart. Create in me, Lord, that I may love you like I once loved you. Lord, create in me, Lord, that I can come to you in prayer, that I can communicate with you, Lord. Create in me. So we must keep our prayers going, that we are not to stop. Fourth, keep our focus international. Keep our focus international. Listen, don't just think about yourself. Don't just think about the world you live in. Don't think about what's just happening on in America. Listen, we've got to look at this globally. That even though you may be feeling effects in America now, you may be feeling things now in your life, but look at this. This is much bigger than the United States. This is much bigger than your personal world. This is much bigger than your own community. We must look at this worldwide. Perhaps one of the reasons God allowed the United States to come into existence was to help fulfill the Great Commission and to supply the personal finances that are needed for the evangelization of this world. We have been sending missionaries over and over again. Partly as a result of that, of the world today is experiencing the greatest harvest of souls it has ever seen. And now it is not time to stop, but for United States Christians still have that vital role to play in the evangelization of this world. Think about this. For us to become a nation that is free, God has given us the freedom and the liberty to help other nations to know about Jesus. And we have been sending missionaries to other countries since 1812. And there's been nothing but a great revival. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see that great revival in America. Listen. Listen. It may not be that you see the great revival in America, but there's great revival that's going on around the world that we are to preach, to teach, to share with each other, and that we are to let people know about the Great Commission that we are to reach not just the United States and get fat and satisfied in the United States, but it's for us to have a heart to focus on souls that are around the world. And it's through the power of prayer that America has been sent by God, that God has given you the freedom and the liberty to do that, to cause His grace and His mercy to expound to other countries around the world. How selfish that we become a nation that we don't think about other nations around us. All we are is consumed with America. We're just consumed about our freedom. We're consumed about how we're going to keep up with the Joneses. We're consumed about how many cars we're going to get next week, how many houses we're going to get next week, what we're going to accomplish here, how am I going to accomplish that, how many businesses am I going to reach, how many things are I going to achieve. Listen, and if we're not careful, Satan will take you down a road of destruction. Because he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And listen, he is at his last point, because if he can try to bring America down, then he can try to bring everything else around, because there are those that are depending on America through the power of prayer, and those that are giving, sending missionaries out to get the gospel around the world so that God can, and it can be fulfilled in His great commission. Listen, today I want to leave with you this. More than ever, God wants to use us to transform our society and to evangelize our world. He, God, He will do it as we keep our lives pure, we keep our voice heard and relevant. I had to add that. Keep our voice heard and relevant, and our prayers going, and our missionary focus on international. The ancient words of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 says this, and they are still faithful and they are still true to this day. If my people who are called by my name. You have been called, you are God's people, and who are called by my name. And I really do believe in this scripture right here in this passage is really representing America right now. By my name, if America will humble themselves, and if America will pray, and if America will seek God's face, then I really do believe if America would seek God in a mighty way and turn from their wicked ways, then I do believe what God's Word says, and I stand on the Word of God, then God says, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Folks, if you want to know what the key is to God in healing America, for God to come back to America and for America to come to God, they must humble themselves, seek God's face, and surrender unto God. And then the Holy Spirit would save this nation, and Jesus Christ would rise up and see that they have had favor in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. 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 We cannot be complacent. We cannot just stop and not do nothing. We cannot just throw our hands in the towel and say whatever. We cannot have the idea and the theory theory that we're going to say, well, whatever happens, happens. No, God says if you will surrender, if you will seek, if you will turn from your wicked ways, then I will save and heal your land. That's what God's word says. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. And we as a nation, we have to understand that if we're going to get God's favor, and if we're going to have God's favor on America, that we continue to do the great commission that He has commissioned us to do, then we must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek God's face. We must turn from our own ideas and theories and opinions and go in our own way, and that we fall back at the cross, that we fall back at the foot of the cross, that we fall back in the arms of our loving Jesus that loves us, that sees sin for what it is. Jesus sees sin in this world for what it is. And He has come to save, deliver, and heal, and to cause us to have a relationship with Him in that we are to help others and let others know about Jesus Christ and how that we must surrender unto His Lordship. Stand with me across the building today.